Good morning, and welcome to EMP. Today's reading will be from Acts chapter 14. And I'll start reading from verses 19 all the way to verse 28. And it said, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went out with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they remained no little time with the disciples." And so here in this passage here, we see that Paul and Barnabas are traveling on their missionary journey. And the life of Paul and Barnabas and the ministry and the work that they had undertaken was one of constant movement in their life, one of struggle and tribulation. It says here that as they were preaching, it says that they were stoned and that they had Paul. They thought he was dead and they dragged him. And so, have you ever think that the gospel is only filled with a road of perfection, of no troubles or anything? Just read the book of Acts. Here's Paul's preaching. He's doing the work of God, and he gets stoned and dragged. And it says that they thought he was dead. So you can imagine how bad the beating must have been, that they would have thought he was dead. But it's interesting how the writer here just writes it almost just very relaxed. It says that he just got up and then went to the next thing. And so Paul and Barnabas are traveling, and there's something that is consistent throughout their missionary journeys, and that is that they're always in this mode of evangelizing, of discipling, and strengthening the disciples. And then once they feel that they've gathered enough believers within that community, within that area, they then establish and appoint elders to lead the church, committing them to the Lord, and continue with their work. And so that was a very common pattern in the life of Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. And so, but really the scripture that I want to focus on here today is verse 23, where it says, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." And so, when we break down this verse, we see several things happening. One, the decision to appoint elders. Two, they saturate their decision with prayer and fasting. And thirdly, they commit their decision to the Lord, followed by just trusting in whom they had believed. And so I think all of us in our lives should have a process in the way we do, in terms of the way we arrive to decisions in our life. And I think we can always use scripture here to lead us and guide us when we're making decisions for our life, and to lead us and guide us on how to go about those things. And I want to take an encouragement here from Paul and Barnabas about how they made this decision and the difficulty that it must have been. So the first thing that they have to do, the first decision that they make, is to appoint elders, okay? And so the decisions, often when we're making decisions, one of the questions we ask ourselves is what should I do? Okay, so whenever if you guys have ever struggled or been in a situation where you're having to make a decision, very often the first question we're looking to be answered by God is, what should I do? Okay? But one of the hindrances to our decisions process is our inability to let go sometimes and our need to maintain control. And you see that with the appointment of elders, that seems like a simple decision to make. But if you look at it here, look at the context that what Paul and Barnabas are undergoing. They go into a city, they evangelize, they disciple people, they strengthen people. If I'm the pastor and I've already laid down all that work, I want to see it to the end probably. The last thing I really want to do is probably appoint elders and be like, you know what? Now I'm just going to trust you what I've started here and move forward to the next thing. But that's what Paul and Barnabas do, that they evangelize, they disciple, they strengthen the disciples, and then they decide to appoint elders, and to essentially they're empowering the elders to then take control over the church and to lead them. And that's a difficult thing to do sometimes for leaders. I was talking to one of my friends that leads an organization, and one of the struggles that we were just relating to one another is sometimes it's hard for us to just let go and allow the Holy Spirit to work in people's life. That what if, like, let's say, for example, what if I don't go to house church today? Then people are going to miss me and God's not going to be working. God continues to work even when I'm gone. God continues to care after his people even once I'm gone. And that's something that Paul and Barnabas had to recognize in their life, that they had laid down the work of evangelizing, discipling the people, and appointing elders. And it says, and then they continued to do their work. Okay? Now, especially if, and so I think this is one of the difficulties that we sometimes have, is just the inability in our lives to surrender our control in our lives. And so, but here, Paul and Barnabas, they do the work, and then they feel they're at a place of comfort to just let go and surrender. And I think when we're in a process of making decisions in our lives, one of the biggest struggles that we have to let go and surrender before God is our need to maintain control and to just arrive to a place of complete surrender in our lives. And so part of that decision process and the tension here then is what we see here is that they arrive, that part of their decision process is that they prayed and fasted, okay? Now, I would also include this here in terms of when we're making a decision process is just the applied wisdom that we have in our life. That we know from Paul's epistles that he had a lengthy requirement about elder appointments and the life that they were held accountable to and for to live in their lives. So Paul wasn't just saying, okay, let me pray about it. But he actually, if you read Timothy and you read the book of Acts, it's almost one or two chapters where he says, this is what an elder is. This is the way an elder is called to live in his life, in the way he speaks, in the way he lives out, and the way he treats one another, and the way his relationship is with God. So it wasn't just, let me just pray about it. But Paul did have a lengthy requirement for his elders in terms of wisdom, in terms of something that he required. And so when we're making a decision process, we often, some of us still, I think, I don't know, I know a lot of people still often, what they'll do is like, oh, here are the pros, here are the cons. And then in that process, they're trying to make a decision. I think that's fine. That's perfect. We need to have, I don't think we should be afraid of wisdom in our lives, because what does James say? If you lack wisdom, he says, ask for it. So we shouldn't be afraid that when we sometimes make decisions based on wisdom, is that sometimes people think in church that, oh, you didn't pray about it. Yeah, but I trust that God is also giving me wisdom in my life, because that's what James says. If I lack it, then let me ask for it. So there is wisdom being applied in our decision making. But I think in terms of that, we see here that prayer in this circumstance as well came along with fasting. I think sometimes in our lives that we pray through situations, but for whatever reason, Paul and Barnabas decided to mix their decision with prayer and fasting. And so this wisdom that they have gathered And I believe that the wisdom in our lives, and when we're making decisions and we're going through a process, that our decisions and our process and our and the wisdom that we've gathered should be saturated to the, saturated, and I would say oversaturated, with prayer and fasting in our lives. That whatever God puts in our hearts, that we should saturate that alongside with prayer and fasting. Because I think oftentimes, and maybe it's just me, is that sometimes I don't hear a clear yes or no. And sometimes, guess what? A decision needs to be made, because sometimes decisions are time sensitive. And so for me, I've arrived to the place where, God, okay, I'm asking for wisdom for this situation. Okay, God, let me saturate now this decision in prayer. And let's say I go away for the next 30 minutes or an hour, and I pray, for whatever reason, I still don't sense anything. But I know a decision needs to be made. Now, I feel more confident in committing that to the Lord once I've gone through that process. If I haven't applied any wisdom and I haven't saturated my decision with prayer and just said, I'm going to roll the dice on this and let's see how it goes, and say, God, I'm trusting you. Okay, but here I think for our lives, in terms of our decision process, is this applied wisdom and saturating the decisions that we need to make in our lives with prayer and fasting. And that for me allows me then to then step into the next thing, which says that they did that. They appointed elders with prayer and fasting, and they committed them to the Lord. And so for me, is once I've gone through that process of wisdom and saturating my decisions with prayer and fasting, I then have the confidence to say, God, I commit this now to you. I surrender this decision that I now need to make. I surrender it to you fully. It is out of my control, and I surrender it fully to you. And so they committed their decision to the Lord. And there comes a moment, because there comes a moment where we must then decide, or the other option, which often happens, is then we remain indecisive and don't commit our decision to the Lord. So many oftentimes, one of the things when I'm talking to people about the decision process in their lives is that they're so worried about making this decision that then the next thing in their lives, their response then is indecisiveness. And sometimes that indecisiveness is just as bad as then the decision. But sometimes we're so obsessed in terms of that process, and we can't arrive to a decision, and so we just remain indecisive in our lives. But I think in terms of this, at least the confidence that I have learned in my life in terms of this is in committing this to the Lord. And then that next part where it says, they committed it to who? To the Lord in whom they had believed. So essentially, when we're committing our decisions and we're making decisions in our life, is also a reflection of our heart and what it reveals about what we feel and think about God. It reveals our ability to surrender control and pray and commit to the Lord. Reveals that what we truly believe about God and the posture of our heart when making decisions. And so I used to be one of those people that I was so obsessed about God. I was so obsessed with God. I want to do your will. I want to do your will. I want to walk in your way, right heart. But then I would become indecisive because I either lacked the wisdom or the clarity for the decision. And so I'd become indecisive. And I think, God, then I'd become obsessed about God. I've just messed up plan A. Like, what now happens to the plan that you have for my life? Like, oh no, God. Like, and I don't know if any of you can relate to that, that you're thinking that if you make the wrong decision, then plan A goes completely, and now you have to live with plan B, and you're like, I already messed up plan B in my life. I'm now in plan C and D of my life and all the decision process that I'm making. And I think that normally just reveals something that maybe a lack of trust in our lives. And I want to lead you to Psalm 23, or even Jesus that says, I am the good shepherd. And this is what I've learned in my life. That can be an encouragement to you, hopefully, is that when you're making decisions, is that you would trust that he is a good shepherd. What does that mean? What does a shepherd do? When I lived in Kenya and I saw sheep and I saw shepherds with sheep, I saw one of the things that they would allow the sheep to do. They allowed the sheep to roam. But the shepherd would step in as soon as they felt the sheep was off course. And that's what I've learned in my life, that I trust God that when I'm making decisions, he allows me the freedom to roam and to make that decision. And I trust him enough with my life, and I trust him fully that if I am going off road, that he is the good shepherd to bring me back. But when we don't trust that, we either become indecisive or our decision process just becomes chaotic in our lives. Do you trust him in your life, in your decision process, that as you're seeking to do his will, to make a decision for your life, that he is the good shepherd, that if you are leaning towards the wrong direction, that you trust him, that he will bring you back to where he's leading you to be. And I remember most clearly when I had to make that trust in my life, when I think I was 19, I had graduated high school, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I didn't have money for college, and so I thought then the next best thing, join the military, because they've paid for your tuition the whole way through. And I was like, oh, I could be a military chaplain there, so I could also pursue my Bible theology courses there, and they'll pay for everything. And I was obsessed with traveling at that time, and because the recruiter will tell you everything that you want to hear. And he's like, oh, you'll be able to travel. You know, you land in Japan and then you go to Germany, you'll be able to go. And I was like, wow, I could go to Europe. And so I was like, okay. And I was praying about it. This all happened within a week. I was praying about it. And I was like, God, are you calling me to do this? I was going through the wisdom of like, what are the pros and cons of this decision? And I was seeking clarity. Again, my heart was in a position to, God, what are you saying? Lead me and guide me. And so it finally gets to the last day where my recruiter says, hey, I'm going to pick you up at 5 in the morning, take you to the office where you then do your oath. And then after that is done, you belong to the U.S. government. And so I remember that night, my prayer was simply, okay, God, if you don't want me to do this, just make something happen. And so the recruiter picks me up, and on the way there, I was able to just share the gospel with my recruiter. Long story short, I show up to the military, something happened with my paperwork, and they put me in a room that says, hey, do you really want to be here? And that light just suddenly went off and said, no, this is my chance. I don't want to be here. Up to that point, I had just said, okay, God, I'm trusting you with this process and decision in my life. I don't have a yes or a no, but I'm moving forward at least in the way that I'm sensing your leading and guidance in my life. But I'm also trusting you that if I'm not going in the way and the direction that you've called me, that I trust you that you are the good shepherd. And you see, there's a reason of why that staff of a shepherd has a hook. And I said, God, use your hook in my life to bring me back whenever I'm off course. Now, there's a bit difference that sometimes in our decision process, we kind of hit the staff away from God and refuse him bringing us back to him into the path. But all this in terms of our decision process, I do think that part of when we're going through our decision process, sometimes one of the hardest things is just surrendering control in our lives and surrendering that control to God. And then saturating our decisions with prayer and fasting, and then having the confidence to just commit that to the Lord and trust that he is the good shepherd in whom we have believed in. And so in that, in terms of application, as we go into a time of worship, I invite Wesley to come up, is these are things that we can apply to our lives. Surrender. Saturate your decisions with prayer and fasting to the place, get to the place where you said, I've already prayed it out, God. Like, there's no more praying. Like, I've poured out my heart. I poured out everything. I've already saturated this decision with prayer. And maybe in some season, God calls you to with fasting as well. And now I just commit it to you, Lord, in whom I believe in. And so my question for you this morning is maybe perhaps, what decision are you currently processing? And perhaps for you, you're struggling to surrender, that you're still wanting to maintain control when God is asking you to surrender. Or perhaps it's prayerlessness, that we sometimes think that thinking about a situation is prayer. What I mean by that is we go about our day, and I've gone through that when I need to make a decision, but all I'm doing throughout my day, all I'm doing about is really thinking about it. I'm thinking about it with God in mind, which is nice, but I haven't really set the time to really be with God and saturate that decision with prayer or fasting in my life. And secondly is then committing it to the Lord in whom I believe and trusting that He's the Good Shepherd. And there's so many verses that we can go through that talk about God's heart for us. You look at Matthew where Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow." I don't know about you, but sometimes the decisions that I need to make in my life cause anxiety. But what does that scripture says about when Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow"? It says your Father knows what you need, and He says that your Father cares for you. So I, in whom I believe in terms of God, I know that He knows what I need and that He cares for me. And so when we're surrendering that to God and we're committing ourselves to God, we're committing ourselves to a God who loves us, who cares for us, and He knows what I need. And the passage that we had this week from Sunday in Philippians that says that He is working in us for His will and for His good pleasure. And I think hopefully that's the area of surrender that is mostly difficult in our lives. Normally when we have a decision in our lives, we've made a decision, and what we're saying is essentially saying, "God, back up this decision that I'm making." But really, it's not about that. It's about saying, "God, what are you working in my life? What is your will, and what is for your good pleasure?" And that's where I want to walk in. Whether it's what I want to do, but what I want mostly in my heart is for your will, for you to be working in my life and for your good pleasure. And so as we close our eyes this morning, let's just pray. And let's just begin to just process right now with the Lord how we go about decisions. Maybe you've never thought about having a decision process in your life. And so I pray this is an encouragement to you. And so as we go into a time of worship, what decision are you needing to make in your life? And have you saturated it with prayer and fasting and just arrived to the place where, "God, I just commit it now to you, O Lord. Whether things go my way or not, I commit it to you, and I trust in you in whom I have believed in, the Good Shepherd that cares and knows what I need." And so, Father, as we go into our time of worship, lead us, draw us closer to you. Amen. Ageless one, you're my To just surrender and just, yeah, surrender control and just saturate our decisions with prayer and with fasting. And so, Father, I just pray for clarity for those that are needing to make decisions in their lives, whether it be with family, friends, or work, career, whatever it may be, that we may saturate all our decisions with prayer and fasting, and then just commit them to you. Trust in you, O God, that you are the good shepherd in our lives in whom we have believed in, and that we can trust that you know our need, that you care for us and love us. And so, Father, we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to our community prayer and pray for those that have cancer and are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for those that are sick and also in salvation. Pray for those with infirmities. For those that have COVID and the frontline medical workers. Pray for those that are seeking jobs, opportunities in this season. Pray for our mission focus. Education. Prayer and healing ministry. pray for our local outreach and evening outreach. Pregnant, pray for the moms and the babies. Pray for a house church's gathering tonight. Father, we thank you for this morning. Just pray that you lead us and guide us throughout our day. Just bless everyone as they go, that they may be a light to the places that they step into. So, Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless and see you tomorrow.